Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
The Australian Open continues today. Ash Barty, the only Australian out on the court today. But last night with the men's singles, you had Chris O'Connell and Alex de Minaur. Both did all right, straight sets for them.
Yep.
It was a bit of a struggle, though, for Nick Kyrgios, who went down against Russia's Daniil Medvedev. And I think he let his emotions get the better of him, old Nick. And he mainly had a blow-up at the chair umpire at one point because he was given, I think, a time violation because Daniil was serving, and Nick's like, I'm just going to go over and get my towel as slowly as I possibly can. And when he got the time violation, he wasn't happy about it.
You are receiving, you're not serving.
Okay, but you...
Listen!
I don't want to talk to you. Listen to me,
Oh,
jeez. He's blowing up over a towel, and I'm like, mate, maybe it's time to throw in the towel.
Yeah, maybe.
When it comes to your tennis career.
I wonder if maybe one day when he was growing up, someone told him, he was getting bored, and they said, you have to pick a fight with the biggest kid in the yard, and the umpire is sitting on this chair, which is about 3 metres above the ground. He takes that to heart every time he plays.
I don't know. I think maybe the whole thing was triggering for him. He was remembering Mum Kyrgios telling him to pick up his wet towels off the bathroom floor. He's like, ugh. But yeah, Daniil Medvedev, he won in what was pretty brutal conditions because the crowd was making a lot of noise. And after the game, Jim Courier was asking Medvedev, you know, how he was able to keep his composure given that the crowd seemed to be booing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only choice when you get booed between first and second serve. It's not easy. So you just had to stay calm and win the match.
They're like, boo, we weren't booing. Boo on you for saying we were booing. But that's when Jim Courier sort of said to Medvedev, I don't know if they were actually booing.
Let him speak, please, guys. If you respect somebody, at least respect Jim Courier. I cannot hear him, guys.
I'm going to come a little closer. What I think they've been saying is sue, which is a thing that I think they say when Ronaldo scores a goal. So I think that's what's going on. I don't think they're booing you.
At first, I thought, oh, come on, Jim. You're doing a Smithers, like when Mr. Burns gets booed. You're like,
no, they're saying boo Earns.
But apparently this is a thing. Like Cristiano Ronaldo, the Portuguese soccer star, his fans go, soo, when he scores a goal.
Yeah, so it's from overseas, but it's Australian humour at its best. It's like no one can get it except Australians, so this poor guy.
And apparently Kyrgios' supporters are bringing it to his tennis matches. So it's a soccer thing that they're doing at the tennis, and it sounds like booing. Like, what happened to just clapping? Yeah. You can't mistake that.
The best way to describe it is, when John Daly was at his peak in golf, he brought all the Bogan fans that aren't normally interested in golf.
Yeah.
I think Nick Kyrgios has had that effect now. He's getting all these people that wouldn't normally probably watch the tennis interested because they just want to see him blow up and want to see some theatrics.
So now
they're bringing that to the highly respected Rod Laver Arena.
Oh, well, if the Bogans are coming to watch Kyrgios play, maybe they can just make the sound of this is them opening up beers or something. I don't know. I'm like, man, we're seeing this soccer creep come into tennis, bringing in the soo. Mm. Like, what's next? If a player, like, scores a point on center court, you're going to hear... Is this what they're going to start doing? I don't know.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
One of the members of the Power FM team the other day was talking about how she recently realized that she has two fruit trees in her yard. One's an apricot tree, the other is a lemon tree.
Lemon tree especially good.
Very handy in the summer months. She's not really much of a green thumb. She admits that. Doesn't really look after the garden. She has a gardener who comes around, mows the lawns.
Cool.
And apparently the gardener knows his way around a lemon and apricot tree because he took all the fruit.
Call that fee.
I know, like, some farmers who, you know, from fruit growers are complaining there's not enough backpackers to pick the fruit. Maybe hire this gardener. He could come around and do it for you.
Fill his pockets.
She was shocked to find that most of the lemons from the tree were gone and every apricot was gone. The only one was, like, a couple that were lying on the ground that her dog had discovered. She's like, they're all gone.
And they're saying there's not a food shortage. Sure.
This happens sometimes, though. People think that, you know, if it's just in the yard...
It's fair game.
They're just helping themselves.
Yeah.
It's like, you should probably ask people first. I remember we lived in a place on the Sunshine Coast, and one day I was looking out the window, and the lady from across the road had walked over with a pair of gardening shears, and she was trimming off a cutting from a plant next to our letterbox.
Oh.
Which was like halfway, it wasn't like right down near the footpath. It was like halfway down our yard. And next thing we're like, we open the door, like, can we help you?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, yeah, I was just checking to see if this was flowering. And I was like, with the shears.
Yeah.
You needed the gardening shears?
I just had a pair of shears on me. I thought I'd just check it out.
Happy to give you a clipping. Just maybe ask next time instead of helping yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to know about, when someone has helped themselves to something that's in your yard. 1300 92 1250. Jade, when has someone helped themselves to something in your yard?
We lost a pony for Christmas about 3 years ago.
Someone helped themselves to a pony?
I think so, yes. We've never found her since.
Oh, no. That's like back in the day they would hang horse thieves. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
What was the name of your pony?
Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Was it a very friendly horse that would just walk off with anyone? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd only had her about 10 months, and my daughter just started to get into riding her, and then, one morning just before Christmas, we woke up and she wasn't there.
Oh, that sucks. So you didn't have a long enough to have that talk about not talking to strangers with the horse either.
Obviously.
Did you check with anyone else in the neighbourhood to see if maybe the person who helped themselves to Tennessee had helped themselves to a saddle and a bridle from other
just to complete the collection?
That's shocking.
Yes, we asked around. We posted, on social everything, and she's never been found.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully, they looked after her. Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Well, thanks for speaking with us this morning, Jade, and have a good Friday.
Okay, see you later.
1300 92 1250. We want to know when someone's helped themselves to something in your yard. Kira in Bega, this happened to you. What happened?
So we actually had a really big bird cage on our veranda, and we woke up one morning and it was gone, and my stepmom had actually heard someone at the front, and they've actually moved everything off the birdcage, moved everything out of the way, and wheeled it off.
Was there a bird inside it at the time, Kira?
No, there was no bird in it.
This is going to be a bird napping or something.
I was about to say, did they leave all the newspaper that was in the bottom and all the crappings as well? Did they take that with them?
Well, they took everything else off the top, like there were some rocks and stuff. But they just took off without. It was a big birdcage too.
So what was the birdcage for, by the way? If there was no bird in it, what was the cage?
So we were actually going to go get a bird.
Oh, right.
My brother. And then, the bird cage got stolen, so we were able to get him a bird.
His dream of having a bird never came to fruition. Well, I hope that person is listening now and they feel terrible that your brother led a birdless life because of their crime.
Yeah. They can't see it right now, but we're flipping them the bird.
Thank you very much for chatting with us, Kira. Have a good Friday.
No worries. You too. Bye.
Bye.
I had plenty of comments on the Power FM Bega Bay Facebook page, and also Nigel just called before and got in touch with us and said when he lived in Sydney, a mulberry tree, all the local kids would be picking that in the afternoon. They'd be yelling at him, what are you doing, kids? Oh, nothing. Just, admiring your mulberry tree.
They got mulberry stains around their lips and their feet.
Some of these comments are outrageous, though. Kim said basically years ago she had a shiny new metal bin and it was replaced with a busted up old plastic one. I've seen that happen before. People steal wheelie bins. That's
well,
definitely.
Well, yeah. I mean,
and things like that.
Yeah.
But the icing on the cake is definitely Shailene, who says, don't laugh, but they came into my front yard and stole my ashtray tin. It was a big Milo tin and only had a few butts in it, and they stole it.
Oh, wow.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Well, we have shows and judgings for just about everything in this country. We have, Mullet Fest, I think at Bogangate or somewhere like that, where they do the best mullet and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think it might be Curry Curry, actually. But looks like now, this has probably been going for a long time, but it's the first I've ever heard of it, when it comes to testing for Australia's best tap water.
The Tappies.
Yeah.
The Tappy Awards. It's that time of year.
Yeah, I wonder if we put in some samples from the far south coast this year. A couple of years ago, we probably wouldn't have when the water was, you know, looking a little bit brown, a little bit worse.
Well, we just recently had boil water notices for some areas because of all the heavy rain.
Yeah, you won't be surprised. Bega and surrounds and the south coast went on this list, unfortunately, anywhere. But most of the states got involved in this. New South Wales, South Australia, Western Australia, Victoria, Tasmania, Queensland. No Northern Territory or Canberra. They didn't make the cut. I don't even know if there's even water in the Northern Territory. But the whole association is called the Water Industry Operations Association of Australia, WIOA. So it's a bit of a mouthful. So they took all these different samples. So there was actually like regional and metropolitan playoffs, so to speak, between different places.
A taste off.
Yeah, to eventually select one from each, well, for most of the states, to battle it out to see which one was number one.
Do they have, are they like wine tasters? Do they like hold the glass up, check it to see what sort of clarity it has, swish it around their mouth, spit it into a bucket, all that sort of stuff?
It's a little bit ridiculous. The winner was from New South Wales, Casino Water Treatment Plant in the Richmond River. They're quite happy about that, obviously. But yeah, like you said, the panel judged the entries based on a selection criteria, including colour, clarity, odour, and taste.
Well, water is supposed to be odourless, so I would assume any water that has a smell instantly disqualified. Shouldn't that be the case?
You think so? Well, they just stand there and just swell and look at it like it's a wine glass going, oh, yes, yeah. Well, this is from 2019. This is from a great year.
Yeah. Any entry where you have to put a slice of lemon into it, you know, right there, it's not going to be one of the finalists.
Yeah, when they've got like when they're doing tea testing and wine, what are they swelling it and spitting out? What's this one? They've got like a little pH thing.
Yeah.
Instead of putting the water to see what the pH levels are, but yeah, it's a little bit ridiculous, but sure, why not? And the funniest thing about this whole thing was they actually had a special guest judge.
Was it Simon Cowell?
No, it was George.
I've drunk better water out of an aquarium. This is disgusting.
No, it was actually George Bailey, who's a former Australian Test cricketer.
Oh, right.
And also, he was the guest judge. He's the chief selector for the Australian cricket team. I'm like, and even he just made fun of it. He's just like, look, the best water I get is usually just sucking out of the tap in the bathroom. He says, that's the coldest water that I drank.
What? Why is he going to the bathroom to get
his... I don't know.
What's wrong with your kitchen, George?
You've got
a kitchen sink, mate.
This guy's a bit of a larrikin.
Please tell me he's getting it out of the bathroom tap.
I hope so.
Oh, mate, it's hard to keep the lid up and have a drink at the same time. It's like,
fighting the dog for that trough there.
I just love how he's like, he's a selector to go, that's close enough to judging. Yeah. Here you come.
I'm like, after hearing that, I'm like, maybe they chose the wrong person for this as well. And also, you've got to think, Australia's just won the Ashes. He's been hanging out with the team. He's probably been drinking the last week. He did comment when he was holding up the winner, saying this is the clearest piss he's drank in the last week.
Oh,
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.